two U.S. senators threaten general aviation if user fees don't pass. Vladimir Putin terminates a treaty with NATO. And a pilot dies when his Yak-55 goes down in Washington. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, July 16, 2007. Two U.S. senators openly threatened the general aviation community on Thursday, stating that if GA pilots refuse to accept their proposed user fee for turbine aircraft flying IFR, there will be consequences. During Thursday's Senate Finance Committee hearing, Aviation Subcommittee Chairman John D. Rockefeller, a West Virginia Democrat, said, quote, "If we don't restore equity, then as chairman of this aviation subcommittee, I will address the equity issue by looking for ways to limit general aviation access to congested airspace. Commercial airline passengers shouldn't continue to subsidize corporate jets," unquote. Mississippi Senator Trent Lott, a Republican, joined his colleague across the aisle. Quote, "We're going to have a fair bill or no bill, and I'm prepared to go to the mat," unquote. The two senators sponsored Senate Bill 1300, an FAA reauthorization scheme which would phase out a 4.3 cent per gallon fuel tax for the airlines and introduce a new per-trip fee for many IFR turbine flights for general aviation. A version of FAA reauthorization in the House funds the FAA without user fees. Is it me, or did it just get chilly in here? Nobody's calling it a new Cold War just yet, but Russian President Vladimir Putin has sent notice to NATO that his country no longer intends to be bound by the 1990 Conventional Forces in Europe Treaty. The International Herald Tribune reports that Putin's move reflects suspicion over the United States' plan to construct a missile defense shield in Europe, including two former Soviet satellite states, Poland and the Czech Republic. Putin also appears to be playing to anti-American sentiment in Russia as he prepares for a re-election bid next year. Putin's decree says Russia's suspension of the treaty will take effect in 150 days. U.S. officials say they'll use that time to attempt to turn things around. The pilot of a Yak-55M died Saturday afternoon when the plane crashed in a neighborhood in Everett, Washington. Seattle's KIRO-7TV reports the accident aircraft is registered to a Seattle man, but investigators had not released the name of the pilot as of late Sunday night. Local media reported the plane went down about 1:20 p.m. Pacific time. Everett Fire Department Assistant Chief Glenn Martinson told the Associated Press the pilot radioed the tower at Payne Field to report a rough-running engine. A witness told reporters she saw the engine on fire as the plane went down. The plane crashed in a wooded area between two homes in the Rucker Hill neighborhood. That's about 3 miles northeast of Payne Field. It's not clear whether the pilot had been participating in EAA's Northwest Regional Fly-In at Arlington. Investigators with the FAA and NTSB are on the scene. An inquiry into the September 2006 death of a Canadian soldier in southern Afghanistan has determined the pilot of a U.S. Air Force A-10 Thunderbolt was solely responsible for what the board called a preventable error. As ANN reported, the soldier was killed and another 30 people injured when the U.S. pilot, flying in support of NATO ground forces operating in Panjwai, mistook a garbage fire for an enemy bomb blast and strafed the area. CanWest News Service says the report, released on Friday, states the pilot lost his situational awareness in the incident, which was the second in 4 years involving a U.S. aircraft firing on Canadian soldiers in Afghanistan. In early 2002, an F-16 dropped a laser-guided bomb on Canadian troops in training. The inquiry recommended further training for ground support missions as well as improved technologies. In April, Lockheed Martin's full-function situational awareness data link was delivered to the U.S. Air Force for developmental flight testing. SADL improves pilot situational awareness by providing additional tools to distinguish friend from foe. Hopefully, SADL could be one of those improved technologies called for in the report. Up next on ANN, if you've considered building an RV-10, there's big news. Epic Aircraft appears ready to back up its big promises. And a top space exploration planner steps down at NASA. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply canal tips composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 16th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. If you've wanted to build a kit plane but were afraid you'd be starting a project you'd never finish, here's big news. You may have heard that Glass Air's innovative 2 weeks to taxi program had spawned a second company. What you might not have heard was that the program will adopt Vans RV10 and RV7 kits early next year, joining the Glass Air Sportsman 2 Plus 2. Mikhail Villa, president of 2 weeks to taxi LLC, observed, quote, "Between the two companies, more than 14,000 aircraft kits have been sold, yet many remain unfinished. We feel that providing a service focused on allowing builders to complete an aircraft in just 2 weeks is a remarkable opportunity," unquote. Glass Air launched the 2 weeks to taxi concept almost 3 years ago and immediately had a long waiting list of builders. Demand prompted Glass Air to create a separate company, 2 weeks to taxi LLC. The company offers builders the chance to work in a high-tech build center, assisted by a team of experienced mechanics with access to a variety of tooling, organization, and quality assurance measures unavailable anywhere else. Airplanes constructed at the 2 weeks to taxi facility comply with the FAA's 51% rule for owner-built aircraft. The 2 weeks to taxi program is now taking reservations for RV deliveries in the first quarter of 2008 on a first-come, first-served basis. At this year's Lakeland fly-in back in April, Epic Aircraft announced its plan to fly two newly designed, just-announced aircraft to Oshkosh later this year. As they say, it ain't bragging if you can do it, and it appears Epic will pull it off. As ANN reported, Epic flew the Elite in June, and earlier this month, the company's Victory made its first flight from Redmond, a mere 202 days after work began on the plane. Epic CEO Rick Schrammick said the company's research could find no precedent for a development cycle so short. Quote, "I've always said that Epic has the best engineers and manufacturing talent in the world, and I think this clearly proves it," unquote. Schrammick also expressed thanks to the FAA officials who helped the company meet its ambitious timetable. The all-composite Victory jet uses a single Williams International FJ-33-4A and claims a full fuel payload of 900 pounds. That's enough for 4 to 5 passengers and luggage while flying at more than 320 knots true. Epic also promised to deliver at least 6 of the new experimental jets to customers before the end of 2007. Schrammick says that Epic will make good on that promise, too, and at the promised price. Quote, "This VLJ has been brought to market with a price tag of less than $1 million, and this is not a promotional price or a price in 2002 dollars like we've seen with other jets. This is the Victory price today," unquote. In line with other Epic aircraft, the new Victory VLJ will first be available as an owner-build aircraft via the company's customer build center in Bend, Oregon. The single-engine Victory and the twin-engine Elite jets are scheduled to fly into Oshkosh on the morning of July 23rd. Scott J. Doc Horowitz, Associate Administrator for the National Aeronautics and Space Administration's Exploration Systems Mission Directorate, has announced plans to leave the agency in October. Horowitz is a retired U.S. Air Force colonel who served as commander or pilot on 4 shuttle missions and has led NASA's efforts to return to the moon by 2020. Horowitz says he's stepping down for personal reasons, including devoting more time to his three children. NASA Administrator Michael Griffin praised the veteran astronaut's tireless contribution to the vision for space exploration. Opponents of the FAA's consolidation of Palm Springs radar into the Southern California TRACON facility near San Diego didn't have to wait long for an I-told-you-so opportunity. The San Diego Union-Tribune reports a fiber-optic cable connecting the Palm Springs radar to SoCal and Miramar went down Thursday afternoon, just one day after the facilities were consolidated. The outage wiped out radar coverage for a portion of the area's airspace for about 90 minutes, during which time operations over the Coachella Valley were shifted to Palmdale. FAA spokeswoman Laura Brown maintains the glitch did not cause any lapses in safety or lead to any problems or delays. The National Air Traffic Controllers Association had expressed concern about the consolidation, but it had dealt more with staffing levels than with the technology. Still ahead, Sean D. Tucker's new aerobatic team will debut at Oshkosh. Airline bottlenecks affect presidential campaigners. And Great Lakes Airlines provides today's ridiculous security story. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
Higher, faster, farther, safer. Those are the watchwords of Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing's new generation of personal airplanes. The Columbia 350 is a normally aspirated four-seater that carries 1,100 pounds and cruises up to 190 knots with a next-generation Avidyne or Garmin electronic cockpit to show you the way. With a max range of 1,300 nautical miles, the Columbia 350 is the plane that you deserve when you're a businessman on the go or a Sunday flyer in a hurry to his next great adventure. To schedule a demo flight in a Columbia 350 or a turbocharged 400, call 541-318-1144 or check them out on the web at flycolumbia.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, July 16, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. The Collaborators Formation Aerobatics Team, the new four-place act led by Sean D. Tucker, will make its debut this year at EAA AirVenture Oshkosh, with performances Wednesday and Friday, July 25th and 27th. The collaborators includes Tucker in the Oracle Challenger biplane, along with his son Eric flying an Extra 300L, Bill Stein flying an Edge 540, and Ben Freelove also in an Extra 300L. Eric Tucker elaborated last week between practice flights, quote, "It's basically a fusion of high-performance solo aerobatics and graceful formation team aerobatics. We're ready to get rockin' and rollin'," unquote. Sean Tucker will also perform his solo act every day during AirVenture, in both his Challenger and with the Columbia Airshow Tour. Last week, we told you how GOP presidential candidate Tom Tancredo observed that having a general aviation option to commercial airlines is a great campaign asset and really widens the gap between the top-tier candidates and those less well-known. Democrat Joe Biden, a Delaware senator, agrees. He's had to cancel events in Iowa after bad weather forced him to change his flight plan at least twice. Quote, "My regret has nothing to do with whether I can compete in Iowa or other states. My regret is whether or not I can spend $20,000 to fly back and forth to Iowa in a round trip of 4 hours instead of 12 hours, unquote. University of Iowa political science professor Peverell Squire
says flying with the general public puts struggling candidates at a disadvantage. Quote, it means they'll probably be in fewer places than the top-tier candidates, and the physical toll it takes to fly commercially these days can't be discounted, unquote. Some candidates are fortunate enough to have options. Democratic Senator Chris Dodd frequently flies commercially to save money, but will charter a jet if time is a consideration for key congressional votes. If nothing else, perhaps this improves the odds that our next president will have an appreciation for the plight of businesses facing attempts to curtail general aviation. And finally, add another feared name to the TSA's terrorist no-fly list, 8-year-old Brian Moore. Fox News reports the young lad was set to take his first ever airplane trip after visiting his sister in Cortez, Colorado, when the ticket agent gave the third grader some disturbing news. As he tells it, quote, they almost got me scheduled in, and then the lady just bowed her head and said, we can't get you on this plane, you're a terrorist, unquote. The TSA maintains that no children are on the no-fly list. If a child's name does pop up, it's because that name has also been flagged as an identity for an adult suspect, and it's up to the airlines to make the distinction. Great Lakes Airlines did clear up the matter, but of course, not until after Moore's flight had already left. He was forced to wait a day for another flight. Quote, it's not really fair that I couldn't get home because another man in the world was a terrorist, unquote. And that's the latest from Aero News. And it's time to hit the road to Oshkosh, literally. I've been a little disenchanted with the airlines lately. I have a truck, and I've always been a sucker for a road trip. So I put out a few feelers on the internet, and here's what I've come up with. I found a guy in Wisconsin who bought an aircraft from a guy in Washington State and needs it trailered to Oshkosh. I found another guy from California who needs an aircraft brought back to the West Coast after AirVenture ends. And I found an interesting and somewhat famous guy who wants to carpool. After AirVenture, we're going to visit the Popular Rotorcraft Association's National Convention and Fly in the following week in Mentone, Indiana. Altogether, 6,000 miles plus over 3 weeks. And I'll be filing these daily aerocasts from the road during that time. If you're also driving long distance to Oshkosh or Mentone, get in touch by email. My address is paulp@aero-news.net. We're hitting the road on Wednesday. And don't forget to check out today's ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves talks about wind shear and offers some last-minute thoughts for anyone planning to fly into Oshkosh for AirVenture. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. You can find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.